You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all at another expression of church that we do. We gather with here today with our brothers and sisters around the world. Online we gather. We gather in person. We're here because of Christ. And we're here to celebrate what it means to be his community and brothers and sisters. And we're today you get double trouble, two for your money. Becca and I are going to be doing this together. If you don't know who I am, I'm Ashton Dupler. I'm an associate pastor here. I do life groups and discipleship and some stuff like that.
I am Becca Clark. I am over 0 to 18, so graduation. So all those kiddos, that's me. So I have a lot of fun doing that. So, yeah.
We're in this series called Hero Maker.
Your mic just went up.
Yeah.
We're good. It's back. It's okay. If I don't fall off this chair, it'll be a good Sunday morning. So fingers crossed.
I get the back because they know I'm more susceptible to that. So we're in this series called Hero Maker. We're talking about, you know, when we think about heroes, we think, what makes a hero? You know, what's a hero all about? But really the question I think that's more interesting is who makes a hero? You know, we focus so much on the Luke Skywalkers, but we forget about the Yodas. You know, and each of us have a Yoda in our life. Each of us have someone who has been there for us. You know, Sarah just talked about Doug. Being her Yoda or her Elisha as well, or Elijah, sorry, well, as we'll talk about today. And so we have four stories with one message, and that's that everyone needs to take a stand for someone. We have a call on our life. When we follow Christ, it stops being about us, and it starts being about how God can use us to love and impact others in our world. And so the first story we have is about a guy who saw a need in his community, who felt an urge, who had his heart kind of go out to someone, to some kids who no one was taking a stand for. So we have a video if you want to check this out.
I did it because somebody did it for me. Right. Mentors definitely had a huge impact in my life.
Because I had so many men in my life when I was growing up that did for me what I'm hoping I can do for some of these kids.
That's like really, really cool, isn't it? Like it's fantastic to see something like that. And when we hear a story like that, we think, wow, 600 men showed up. That's so awesome. But I think we also think, oh man, I could never do something like that. That's so big. That's so complex. I mean, think about all the things that had to happen for that to go on. But it started with one thing. It started with one guy saying, you know, I see a need and I can take responsibility to help fill that. I can stand up for these kids. And you know, he didn't meet with every single one of them. He didn't go to all their baseball games or whatever. He was present with them for one day, and he used that to inspire others to do the same thing. And actually, there's a Bible story that really fits along well with this principle. And it's actually Becca's favorite Bible story.
My favorite. So I love the story of Elijah and Elisha. So Elijah, if it gets slightly confusing, just a little bit. And it's a really long story. It spans a couple different books of the Bible. So, but we're only going to dive into a small part of it. I promise I'm not going to read books of the Bible this morning. That would be a really long service. But I would enjoy it because I love it. So I'm going to go first to 1 Kings chapter 19, 19 through 21. So Elijah went straight out and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, in a field where there were 12 pairs of yoked oxen at work plowing. Elisha was in charge of the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha deserted the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, then I'll follow you." "Go ahead," said Elijah, "but mind you, don't forget what I've just done to you." So Elisha left. He took his yoke of oxen and butchered them. He made a fire with the plow and tackle and then boiled the meat, a true farewell meal for the family. Then he left and followed Elijah, becoming his right-hand man. So this is such a cool moment because there's so many things. But Elijah was a prophet, a very important prophet, and he saw something in Elisha. I mean, Elisha was just in the middle of his workday. He was plowing a field, and Elijah not only saw something in him, but he did something about it. And that's what, by throwing his cloak on him, he was saying, "Follow me. I want to mentor you. I want, you know, come with me, and I want to teach you and teach you what I do." So it was just kind of a really, really cool moment. Now, for the second part, we're going to jump to 2 Kings 2, but it's always fun when I get asked to talk up here, at least, because I'm always given permission to do something different, right? So just, you have to hang with us. So we're going to do something different. When I teach kids or teens, and I think it applies to adults too, when you make the story engaging, it makes it more memorable, a little bit of fun. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a little bit of fun. So Carrie is going to come help us. So Ashton is going to be...
Yeah, give her a hand, yeah.
Yep. Ashton is going to be Elijah, and Carrie's Elisha. So Ashton's the prophet. Hopefully it doesn't, can't let it go to your head or anything.
Okay? Yeah.
So, and I'm going to read, and they're going to act it out for us, okay? So, are you guys ready? So like I said, this is 2 Kings chapter 2. All right, just before God took Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on a walk out of Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Bethel." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." So they both went to Bethel. The guild of prophets at Bethel met Elisha and said, "Did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes," he said, "I know it, but keep it quiet." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Jericho." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." So they both went to Jericho. The guild of prophets at Jericho came to Elisha and said, "Did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes," he said, "I know it, but keep it quiet." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Jericho." Elisha said, "Not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight." And so the two of them went on their way together. Meanwhile, 50 men from the guild of prophets gathered some distance away while two of the men stood at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and hit the water with it. The river divided, and the two men walked through on dry land. When they reached the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Ask anything." Elisha said, "Your life repeated in mine. I want to be a holy man just like you." "That's a hard one," said Elijah, "but if you're watching when I'm taken from you, you'll get what you've asked for, but only if you're watching." And so it happened. They were walking along and talking. Suddenly, a chariot of horses of fire came between them and Elijah. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and shouted, "My father, my father, you, the chariot and cavalry of Israel." When he could no longer see anything, he grabbed his robe and ripped it to pieces. Don't actually do that, Carrie. And then he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him, returned to the shore of the Jordan, and stood there. He took Elijah's cloak, all that was left of Elijah, and hit the river with it, saying, "Now where is the God of Elijah? Where is he?" When he struck the water, the river divided, and Elisha walked through. Yay! Thanks, Carrie. Good dive, Ashton. Good
Thank
dive.
You. Yes. Yes. Been practicing all week.
Yeah. You know.
So what I get out of this story, and I don't know if you see it too, is that there have been Elijahs in my life. There have been people who they didn't have a responsibility to. No one told them to do this. But they came up to me, and they saw something in me. They saw some kind of potential, some kind of skill, some ability. And they said, you know, what the four letters that Ryan talked about last week, I-C-N-U. I see in you potential. And they put, in a metaphoric way, their cloak on me. They said, come follow me. Come, let me show you how to do this. And so our next two stories are just about those Elijahs in our life, those people who, you know, didn't, you know, start a nonprofit or do something crazy or big or important, but were just present for us in our life. And I believe yours was named Renee?
Yes. So we also called her Renee was her nickname. And she was awesome. So to start off, though, I've always looked at my story. I don't have one big moment of life change, right? Like, I had the day I was baptized. I have several different moments, but I always look at it as a staircase, right? And I hope that it never ends. Like, as long as I'm here, I hope it continues on, that there's always new moments that I'm growing with God. And Renee, I have many different Elijahs that, like, throughout my staircases so far. Different people who have taken a stand for me in different ways. And Renee's one of them. Renee chose to be a small group leader when I was in high school. I don't know if she really knew what she was doing when she said yes to that, because by saying yes to that, she got me. So she hopefully doesn't regret that decision, but I don't. I'm so thankful for it. Renee was super consistent for me. She was always there. I don't remember the details of Bible stories she taught us about or any of that, but there was one thing I do remember, and she would always tell us, me and my peers, that if we were ever in trouble, no matter what, we could call her. If it was 3 p.m., it was 3 a.m., if we needed her, she was there. And she wouldn't just drop us off at home. She'd come and talk to mom and dad with us. If we were scared to talk to mom and dad, she'd be there. And Renee is taller than my father. Like, she has giant genes. Like, she's awesome. There were moments I was terrified because she could take out probably several of us at a time, but it was awesome. Like, she also gave the best bear hugs in the world. So it's just a cool, like, I always remembered that. And I'm pretty sure if I called her today, she'd be there. I really don't have any doubt about that. She'd be there in a minute. But I was in a moment in the midst of some hard things in high school. I was making some hard choices. I had my mom and my dad behind me. I knew what I thought God was telling me to do, different decisions I had to make. But it was really, really hard. And I had a lot of people upset with me, people that I looked up to that were upset with me. You know, and I got many, like, pulled aside conversations of all sorts of things. But I then got that moment with Renee. Renee pulled me aside. I want to talk to you. And you're like, oh, no. Like, here it comes. Like, I prepared myself for her all over again. And she responded with, I still love you. It wasn't, you know, going into all the details. It was, no matter what, right or wrong, I still love you. And I don't think she realized in that moment, but she was Jesus for me. She was an Elijah to me. I don't know if she saw the hurt in me, but she was able to see something. And because of that, she did something. It wasn't just seeing something and letting it go by. She did something about it. And she was Jesus in so many ways, but that one particularly. And I think it means more to me now than it did then, but it meant a whole lot to me then. And she, I always say, kids, teens are one person away from Jesus, right? It only takes one interaction. And Renee was that. I was at a fork in the road of, am I going to follow Jesus or am I not? Because it was hard to say all of these people are supposed to be Jesus to me, but man, they hurt me really bad. And then Renee was, nope, I still love you. Right or wrong, I still love you. No matter what you do, I still love you. And like, oh, still gives me like goosebumps. But yeah. Renee was very special to me. And I don't think she maybe knew what she was doing in that moment, but God definitely used her in a bigger way than she probably could have ever imagined, because I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for Renee in that moment. It's just kind of, it was crazy, but very cool.
Exactly, and I relate to that a lot from my story. So I also grew up in the church, had a great home, great family, super, you know, blessed in that area, whatever you would say about that. But that consistency, especially with kids, super important, super crucial. And my Elijah kind of did that for for me. I want to show you a picture of me in middle school and high school to give you a framework for understanding who I was. I'm there with a pseudo Justin Bieber haircut. I need a lot of help in middle school, high school, not only with fashion, but with like hair choice, haircuts, getting one, you know, looked partially Mennonite there. No offense to any Mennonites out there. I needed a lot of help. And luckily for me, there was this guy named Aaron, and the college and career group and our youth group would meet at the same time at our church and would let out at the same time. But instead of just, you know, going off with his friends, Aaron would stick around and kind of talk to us high school guys. We talk about sports, we talk about movies, but then he would ask these sorts of questions. He would be like, "So what are you reading in the Word this week?" And he'd be like, So how can I pray for you?" And he'd be like, "You really think that's how you should be acting?" And he asked those kind of questions like they mattered. And at that point in my life, you know, I had been a Christian, but it wasn't until that high school point that I really made a commitment to follow Jesus. And before that, it was kind of like, here's my life, and then here's all the spiritual stuff I do, you know? Here's all of the, you know, I go to church, I pray, I do these things. And they weren't connected, but with him, he connected them for me and showed me that my spiritual life is my real life. And so he began to do that with me, not on a super like high level. He wasn't, you know, coming to every soccer game. We weren't hanging out every weekend. He was just there after youth group. And he was there for a text or a call. And it was that sort of consistency, that sort of presence that not only helped me shift from, okay, I'm a guy who does some Christian stuff, but it was like, I am a Christ follower who wants to help others follow Christ. And so it changed me because in between Super Smash Bros. With my friends, or Halo, if you know what that is, I'd be like, hey, like, what have you guys been reading recently? What's been challenging you? How are you doing? And it not only changed who I was, it changed how I interacted with others. It made me into a hero maker. And like you said with Renee, like, I don't think Aaron even knew it. But by following him, I ended up taking up his cloak without even knowing it. And there have been so many people like that for me. And any of you who have kids know, we don't just show up like this, like as adults. Like the reason why I'm here today is because people have been there for me, because someone took a stand for me. And now I'm trying to realize in my own life, okay, how do I take a stand for others?
Yeah, so like I said, I talk about, you know, a teen is one person away from Jesus. And I don't think that applies to just kids and teens. I think adults are right in that same category, right? We have the opportunity. God has given us that mission of we need to be Jesus in this world. We need to show Jesus's light. He sets a light in us, and it's our job to share that. One thing Josh and I pray for often is that God sends us out and with our light in a really dark place, that we can be different, that we can show God's love, that we can stand out from other people, but that we also, I often pray for courage to take those moments, but we pray that God gives us those opportunities, and sometimes they're really, really difficult, but when you pray for that courage to, you know, step through that door and take that opportunity, be Jesus when it's really difficult. And sometimes it's really easy. I mean, for Renee, it was just, I still love you. Like, you haven't changed in my eyes. I still love you. No matter what, I still love you. And because of that, because of what, just like Aaron, because of how she spoke into my life, I was able to see, wow, those words really do matter. And as somebody going into ministry, I have that opportunity to be Jesus in a whole different light. When kids mess up, they all mess up. We've all messed up. But to say, I'm, you know, instead of coming down hard, to say, I still love you. Jesus still loves you. You can ask for forgiveness. He gives us, that doesn't mean there's not consequences, but he gives us endless opportunity to grow in him. Mm. So it's just kind of cool. I'm going to read something that Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So I challenge you to ask God for to ask God to use you in a way that maybe you have somebody in mind that's just crossed your mind over and over again that you could stand up for, right? That it doesn't have to, it's not necessarily simple or easy or hard, or it could be all sorts of things, but it's worth it, right? Mm. It's something that we could be in a whole different place if we didn't have the Elijahs in our life, that we didn't have the people who not only saw something, but then chose to do something about it. Renee changed my world with four simple words. Is that four? I still love you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. can't count. It's okay. So what specifically are you going to ask God to do to use you, right? Mm. Instead of constantly, we live in a me-centered world where it's, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to help me? How are you going to, it's me. But instead, what can I do for you? God gave me this. He gave me my gifts. He gave me all of these things. So what am I going to do to help somebody else? And I guarantee if you ask that, he's going to give you people, whether you realize it or not. Because I don't think Aaron and Renee knew what they were doing in that moment, but that it would have a lasting effect. So.
Right. And like to close, I'm reminded of this scripture again. It's Ephesians 2:10, and it says, you are Christ's workmanship. You are Christ's masterpiece. You are his piece of art, his piece of music that he's been working on. And that he, in advance, before the creation of the world, set aside good things for you to do. And there are people in your path today who God wants you to love, to care for, because you're so valuable that he wants to use you. He doesn't need to do it himself. He'll outsource it to you because you are valuable enough. Your words mean something to somebody else. And the beautiful thing is that God just doesn't just all himself, spread his love to the world. He uses us. We're valuable to him in that way. And we get to participate in such a divine thing as telling other people you matter. And so today, as we close in prayer, I'm going to leave about 30 seconds for you to just be silent. And if the Holy Spirit, brings up someone to your mind, be like, oh yeah, this person's in my path. This person's an Elisha in my life. Hopefully you can respond to that and take that up to go say, I see in you something unique and different and special, and to be that presence in their life. So if you would stand with us and we'll pray. God, I thank you that you are light and that you break into the darkness of our world. And I pray that we would just be mirrors to reflect you, to reflect your love for other people. Lord, I ask that if there's someone in my life whom you have placed there, who you see there, Lord, that you would direct me to them. And Lord, right now, if there is someone, I pray that you would bring them to our minds. God, you've given us so much, and I pray that in response we would give back. We would go love a lost, hurting, empty world, and that you would empower us to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we know that you'll give us what we need to do what you call us to do. And so I ask, Lord, that we would just go through this week aware of where you are calling us to be hero makers. Thank you for those who have stood up for us in our life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.